Bless my heart. Not only mine, but from things that I've seen and heard, it bless some other people's hearts too. Thank the Lord tonight that He seen fit in His great and marvelous grace just to allow us to be in this conference this week.
Amen.
Then we thank the Lord for this church that has made it possible through the grace of God that we could be here by having you ladies that made it even more comfortable some of the time. Sometimes we eat so much of it we wasn't too comfortable when we came back in the services. Wonderful food, and we appreciate that very much.
Amen.
Tonight, I would like to just say this. Beginning Monday night, we had the privilege of talking to Brother Dempsey Henderson. He called us before we left to come to the conference, and things are going real well. They're starting two new preaching points. Last Thursday, they had three services on Thursday evening, plus two on Wednesday night, four on Sunday. And somewhere every day last week, he or some of the young men in his church was preaching. So they're staying busy. And he told us to be sure and to tell all of you people that were here that they were thinking about you and wanted you to remember them in prayer, that God was blessing them in their work. We just wanted to mention that to you tonight. You brethren that's already preached and I've listened to you, I'd just like to say tonight that I'm glad that we're on the same side.
Amen.
And that side is not mine, it's not yours, but it's the Lord's side.
Amen.
That's where I want to be.
Amen.
Brother Kelly said that every time he heard me preach, that I preached on the second coming of the Lord. And I love and look for the second coming of the Lord. I'm looking for Him.
Amen.
Longing for it. But I want to tell you, folks, I've had a great time here.
Amen.
I'm enjoying myself down here till the Lord comes.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for it. Brother Hancock said that the Lord messed up a good truck driver. But I'll tell you, Brother Hancock, you can't go to heaven driving a truck.
Amen.
Won't get you there. But the one you talked about today is the one that'll get you there, brother. Brother Harvey said that if some were here, what's happened during this conference would say that we were Pentecostals. And we really are. We're the only true Pentecostals there are. But we got something on the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, we're the only ones that claim to be around then. The rest of them had to start. But we got something. Got an extra portion of God's Spirit. And when the Lord saved me and added me to His church, He gave me that. So I don't have any problem at all being a Pentecostal. Thank the Lord for it. I feel very humbled tonight. It's not because of these men that humbles me. Certainly I admire them greatly. But I'm humbled for what they preach and what they stand for down through the years. Brother Harry Hilly preached Monday night. And I listened to him and my heart was thrilled. I thought about what he preached. And if some said he preached the same thing, I believe, 40 years ago. Folks, I don't know anything on this earth 40 years old that'll thrill you just as much 40 years later as it did the first time you ever heard it.
Amen.
A lot of things going on in churches today that give you a thrill for a moment, great ecstasy, but after you hear it two or three times, it loses its effectiveness. Folks, the truth of God that we've heard this week gets sweeter every day.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Brother Hillen, all of these that we've heard. Many asked me, and I didn't finish what I started to say about being humble. Not used to, I would go to preach, and I'd look out in the congregation, and I'd see the elder brethren, you know, preachers, the elders, I guess you would say. and felt that I was there to be taught, and I certainly am, and never really thought about the fact that someday it might become my responsibility to be a part of that teaching. Not that I'm a teacher, but I'm getting close to being in that elder group. No longer are they all older than I am. Many of them are younger. So certainly tonight I do not consider myself qualified to teach or to tell anyone anything. But the one who called me and the one for whom I preach and I serve knows all things, and he's able to teach all people. We've heard many great truths throughout these messages. My question tonight is, these great truths that you've heard and your heart has rejoiced in, what do they really mean to you? Is it just going to last for a little while? Or are you going to stand for those truths?
Amen.
What are you going to do with them? Many ask me, why do you preach doctrine so much? My first answer is, I don't really know anything else to preach and still preach the Bible.
Amen.
Some say, well, you preach it and many others don't. That's the second reason I preach it.
Amen.
We blame our public schools, the TV set, and many other things for our troubles today in our homes with our young people. Folks, I want to tell you that's not so. It's not the schools, the public schools, or the TV. That's not really it. I'll tell you who's to blame for our troubles today. It's our homes, our churches, and our preachers. That's where the trouble is. I'll tell you what, you can change the schools, you can do whatever you want to, but schools are not the answer. Programs are not the answer. Psychology, psychiatry, sociology, whatever is not the answer, folks.
Amen.
The answer is the truth of God's Word being taught in our churches by our preachers and practiced in our homes and our churches.
Amen.
I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ezekiel tonight. Very familiar passages of Scripture. You've heard them many times, and you've heard messages preached from them. And I'm sure some or all of you will think far greater messages than the one you're going to hear tonight. At least the messenger was. But it's still God's Word, and I want you to listen to us tonight. Look beyond the one that's standing here and all of his failures and all of his weaknesses and frailty. And look to the one to whom this message belongs tonight. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, that prophesy and say thou unto them, that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 22, if you will, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. ravening to pray, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And my friends, as it was in the days of Ezekiel, so is it today. And really, we as Baptists should not be surprised. The Bible tells us that it was going to be this way. In 2 Timothy 3:1-2, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And folks, if you want to learn something, just check up on this word fables and find out where it originates from. I'll tell you where it comes from. You check on it later. It comes from the Greek word that means actor.
Right.
Somebody doing some acting.
Amen.
I'll let you take it from there. Amen. Notice with me tonight three things that we want to point out in this message. The great need of today. Someone to stand in the gap. Someone to stand for these truths that we've heard this week. And folks, the only hope that our children, I have a little granddaughter just 2.5 years old. And I'm honest with you. When I look at her and I think about her, I pray to God, if the Lord doesn't come back, that somebody, somewhere will stand for these when she grows up.
Amen.
That's the only hope we've got. Our children and grandchildren. Three things I'd have you to notice with me tonight. First of all, the conditions, the existing conditions. Secondly, the resulting calamity. And finally, last of all, the call or challenge of today. In these verses, we notice, first of all, that there's a need for someone to stand in the gap, because many voices at once were speaking are ceasing. There is some ceasing of some voices. In verse 5 of 13 of Ezekiel said, Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge. There were some that could have stood, but didn't stand. Therefore, voices are ceasing. There were some that hide their true beliefs. Either that or they're ashamed to preach what they believe.
Amen.
Some, my friends, that used to preach it, some of those voices that used to ring the clarion call of God's Word and God's truth, no longer with us today, but are with the Lord Himself. And someone must stand in the gap.
Amen.
I preached this sermon before, and every time I preach it, I can't help but think of old brother V.A. Turner. And there is someone standing in his place.
Amen.
Tell you what, God called a young man, taught him unto old brother V.A. Turner. That young man, brother Roger Jones, is here tonight.
Amen.
And if you listen to him preaching, you brother V.A. Turner, you could see it, folks. Someone to stand in the gap. Many will not. Some are afraid to. Some are gone. And not many new ones are coming on. I look out over this congregation tonight and I see a lot of young men. By young, I mean 40, 50 on down, whatever you may consider young. Many here. And I don't know why God's not calling. If He is not calling,
And I cannot help but believe that in this large of congregation that has heard some of the things that we've heard this week that has blessed your heart, that just possibly, just maybe, God might be calling some of you. I don't know. That's entirely up to Him. But I can tell you this tonight, folks, by the Word of God, that there is a need for someone. Someone to stand in the gap of those that won't stand, and those that are afraid to stand, and ashamed to stand, and those that have gone on that are no longer with us. May God in His mercy and grace call someone.
Amen.
Secondly, in the conditions we find in verse 25 of chapter 22 of Ezekiel, it said that there is a conspiracy of our prophets.
Amen.
Conspiracy of our prophets. It tells us that some were preaching for material gain.
Amen.
They used to call it preaching for money. You know, folks, there are some. As ashamed as I am to say it, there are those preaching for money. If you don't believe it, cut off the supply and say, I long to preach.
Amen.
Not only that, but it said in this conspiracy of prophets that they were devouring souls. And folks,
Amen.
There are those that claim to be God's prophets today that are devouring souls.
Amen.
They're destroying the souls of young men and young women by teaching them false doctrine, by teaching them that which is not true. Rather than teaching them that which will build them up, it's that which tears them down.
Amen.
Devouring souls, a conspiracy of the prophets. Then in that 25th verse, it said they have taken the treasure and precious things. I'll tell you what. Tonight, folks, and I know this is true with some of you, but there are some things in the service of God that's very precious to me.
Amen.
I haven't always known and believed the truth about God's grace that I know and believe tonight. That's precious to me.
Amen.
When I see someone
Amen.
That belittles the grace of God, either deliberately or indirectly by ignoring it, they're destroying precious things to me.
Amen.
I haven't always known and believed the truth about the Lord's kind of church. But I want to tell you, folks, I believe it now. And that's precious to me.
Amen.
I've got a wife that I love with all my heart. Two daughters, a little granddaughter, but the most precious thing on the face of God's earth tonight is not my wife and my children,
Amen.
But the Lord's church.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
My wife and children, my mother and dad have done many things for me, but they've never done what the Lord's church has done for me.
Amen.
Folks, it was there that I heard about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ as able to save a wretch like me.
Amen.
It was there where God's preachers and God's teachers taught me about the love of God.
Amen.
Taught me about how precious and how glorious the church was to the Lord.
Amen.
That He died for it. My friend, if the Lord died for it, the very least I can do is live for it tonight.
Amen.
Precious to me.
Amen.
Many preachers and churches today are destroying those precious things.
Amen.
They've taken the treasure. Folks, if there's a treasure on God's earth tonight, it's His church.
Amen.
The pearl of great price. There is no greater treasure than that on this earth tonight.
Amen.
They've taken it, and they're devaluing it tonight. Precious things. Holy Spirit conviction. Folks, that's how I got saved. That's precious to me tonight. I remember that Sunday morning I made a false profession when I was a young boy through the striving of other people, and I thank God for their concern. I certainly never want to belittle anyone's concern for a lost son. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about tonight is when they begin to take God's place, to do God's work. call it Methodist, whatever you want to call it. But in so doing, they devalued and in a sense destroyed the truth about the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Then when I was 17 years old, I experienced that. I went before the church and done all the rest of it, taught Sunday school and everything till I was 17 years old. And finally, this precious saying, I'm talking about Holy Spirit conviction, came to me. That's the reason I'm a child of God tonight. Not because of some program, not because of some man or method or whatever tonight, but because God, in His mercy and grace, through the preaching of His word, sent His Holy Spirit and convicted me and made me know I was a sinner. I didn't guess about it. I knew I was lost and on my way to hell. Precious things. Then it tells us in verse 26 about the compromise of the priests. So their priests have violated my law. And I've profaned my holy things. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shown any difference between the unclean and the clean. Compromise of the priests. Not only did they take the precious things, but they misused those precious things for their own gain, for their own purpose. Baptism. People compromising, call themselves Baptists and compromising on baptism. Folks, baptism is a holy thing. So holy that God only trusted one institution on the face of the earth with the authority to administer it. Those who believe in the universal, invisible church, my friends, have made a God out of the ordinances. They made a God out of it. It smacks. Their use of the ordinances smacks with idolatry. I don't know whether you know what consubstantiation is or not. I didn't for a long time, and I probably have to read it if I want to tell you about it. Now, I'll just give you a little bit about it. What it says is that when they partake of the Lord's Supper, the elements, that the presence, the actual presence of the Lord is there. And that by partaking of that ordinance, that the atonement in some way or somehow is applied. They worship the seen God more than the unseen God. Amen. Jesus told Thomas, said, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those that believe though they haven't seen. Amen. They've taken baptism, no longer is it a church ordinance, but it's a preach ordinance. Without any authority from anybody or anyone, more especially God, they take and baptize whom they please. Misusing holy things. God said they violated my law. Paul told Timothy, Spirit of God through Paul told Timothy, and in so doing told each of us, that we all should strive for masteries. Every preacher here ought to try to be a master preacher. Every church member ought to strive to be the best church member that church has got. Not only are we obligated, but we ought to have a desire to be. But I want to tell you, folks, you better do it lawfully.
Amen.
That laurel wreath, that crown of joy that Brother Hall was talking about the other night, it's won by victory. But it must be, the race must be, and the battle must be fought and run lawfully if we're to win that wreath.
Amen.
Not only that, but it said these compromising priests were building empires at the expense of precious things. You know why baptism is no longer important to some preachers and churches? It's because if they stick to the gospel pattern of baptism, they won't have an empire. Folks, I'll tell you something tonight. God's way, God's word, God's way of baptism, God's kind of church, God's kind of ordinances, it won't be a man's empire, it builds God's empire.
Amen. Amen.
Not only that, but it says these compromising priests brought the world into the church. No difference in the profane and the holy. Folks, that's true. While people go to churches, they don't see anything different there than they do before they come out in the world. Many times it's the same people. They see the preacher, the pastor, in the world in places like everybody else. The things that the world does. I might as well tell you what I'm thinking about. When I was growing up as a boy, I wasn't allowed to go to movies. Now you can go to church and go to the movies at the same time. Why should those that are thirsting for something, why should they go and drink at streams that are already polluted?
Amen.
The same kind of stream they've been drinking out of. There's nothing for us, nothing to give them refreshment. They've been drinking out of them all along. No difference in the clean and the unclean. Not only that, but in verse 27 through 29, it tells about the fact that the people were corrupt. They were selfish and rebellious. They were oppressing people. And all you've got to do is turn your television on Sunday morning and you'll see some of those preachers that's oppressing people. Taking everything they got. The sad thing about it is they call themselves Baptists. Listen to what Paul said, Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. He said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ."
Amen.
A corrupt people. And then we find, if you want to take the time, I'm not going to take the time tonight, but in Ezekiel chapter 16, you'll find that these people were cooperating and consorting with the enemy. Read it. In Ezekiel 16. See what it says. They were consorting with the enemy. They were unionizing. They had forsaken God and His truth and were unionizing with His enemies.
Amen.
Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't have any fear of the universal church, invisible church. It doesn't exist.
Amen.
I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
Not a bit in the world. Because
they
got an invisible church with invisible congregation, with invisible preacher, preaching an invisible gospel. So they're not going to give you much trouble. But I'll tell you where the trouble is. It's Baptist preachers and Baptist churches that are consorting and cooperating with the enemy.
Amen.
That's who I fear.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, God said to Ezekiel, said, "I've made you a watchman unto Israel." And folks, God's preacher, if you're a God-called preacher, is made a watchman over God's word. God help us to see that tonight.
Amen.
Thank God for Brother Larry Eaton, what he said today. He told us the truth, preachers.
Amen.
God's made us a watchman. And we have no business even fooling with the enemy, let alone consorting with them.
Amen.
See, Baptist churches and Baptist pastors giving the enemy money to carry on their program. That's what I fear. Now, right quickly, the resulting calamity is that false prophets and false preachers. Folks, that's what we have. We have a conspiracy of the prophets and a compromise of God's priests or His men and corrupt people and cooperating and consorting with the enemy. The inevitable result is false preachers and false preaching. And we've got it today. Chapter 13, verse 2 said they preached the message of their own heart. Verse 3 said they followed their own spirit. Here's a sad thing, folks. Verse 6, it says they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They made others to have a false hope. Many are thinking the road to heaven been deceived. A lot of lost church members, folks, a lot of them. You know why? Keeping the commandments of the Lord is grievous to some. What is it, Romans 6:6? It says, when you're made free from sin, you become the servant of righteousness. I'll tell you why people don't want to serve God, why they don't want to come to church, why they don't want to tithe, why they don't want to live for. I'll tell you why. They don't want to be a servant. Amen. And the only people that can serve God is a servant. Nobody else can do it.
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother.
This is the result of not standing in the gap and teaching young preachers. I don't know what you're going to do, but I've got a young preacher in my church, and I'm going to do the teaching. You're in. I'm not very smart. If I'm smart enough, God called me to preach and gave me a job. I'm not smart enough to teach that young man. I'm not smart enough to pastor church. I'll just fold it up and quit. They had a lot of things I'd like to say, but I'm not going to say it all. They had a make-believe building. Chapter 13, verse 10 said, Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace there, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and no others daubed it with untempered mortar, building it out of their own stuff. That's the only thing I know to call it, is stuff. Paul talked about it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about preachers building church, and he called it wood, hay, and stubble. Burns up too.
Amen.
Wrong material, their own material. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's not God's building, and it can't withstand God's judgment. I tell you what it does. It gives a false sense of security. Chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there is no peace. Folks, I want to tell you, there is no peace. There is no security in a false church tonight. I don't care how big it is. I don't care who the pastor is, how great success it may seem to be. There is no peace outside of the Lord's church. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
God's judgment is going to fall. Verse 31, chapter 22 of Ezekiel says, therefore have I poured out mine indignation. Why? Verse 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none, therefore have I poured out mine anger. I want to tell you the only thing that's holding back God's wrath and anger on His people, this country, and this world is a few that's still standing in the gap.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Now, last of all, the call. And the challenge for today, the need for someone to stand in the gap. This is just an old-fashioned Baptist sermon. Need someone to stand today who's not afraid or ashamed. Only thing that'll hold back God's wrath, the only hope our children's got, is somebody standing in the gap. Down where I come from, Tennessee, now, I used to hear this in a lot of Baptist churches, but since we've all got educated and whatever else there is, I don't hear it anymore. You used to talk about pussyfooting Baptist preachers, whatever that means. But I knew it wasn't good, whatever it was. So undoubtedly, we've got a bunch of them anymore. We need some that'll take their place in God's service and take the place of older preachers. I'm not trying to call anybody to preach. But if God's talking to you tonight, He gives you the grace, and you ought to count it a blessing and a privilege to be a man of God.
Amen.
I mean that with all my heart.
Amen.
Tonight, I have no regrets whatsoever. Not one tonight. Every one of these preachers had things to happen to their family, had it to happen to my family. Breaks your heart and all that. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take nothing in the world from being God's man tonight.
Amen.
Reason there's a need today for someone to stand in the gap because there are a lot of gaps down. I'm just going to mention a few right quickly. some of the gaps down today is the gap of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved. All of grace. Baptist preachers shouldn't be afraid to preach grace. Every once in a while, someone says, I believe in election, but I'm afraid to preach it. If you believe it, you're not afraid to preach it. I'll tell you what, it'll give you a courage that nothing else will give you. God told Paul over in Acts chapter 18, said, don't you worry about it. Said, I've got much people in the city, and nobody's going to set on you to hurt you. You know, I had a preacher helping me in a meeting just a couple of weeks ago. He's telling me about a couple who came to his church involved in child evangelism. Now, I'm not saying that all in child evangelism are like this, but I'll be honest with you, I don't have any time for it. I'm honest with you. He said this couple came to his church and they were bragging. Brother Jerry Asbury, most of you know him. He said they were bragging about leading a 2.5-year-old child to the Lord. I want to tell you something, folks. It's just as sinful to immerse a little baby as it is to sprinkle.
Amen. Amen.
Easy believism. No repentance, as somebody preached this week. And there at this conference, and there is no salvation separate and apart from repentance. I want to tell you something. Anytime you turn to something, you turn away from something.
Amen.
You read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul talking about the Thessalonians that turned to God. He said they turned away from idols.
Uh-huh.
Folks, repentance is not just sorrow. It's not confessing. The repentance is turning around where you don't have to confess that sin anymore.
Amen.
Turning from something to something.
Amen.
I believe in election. The Bible teaches it. But it also teaches being missionary.
Amen.
Glory. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Secondly, the moral gap's down.
Amen.
Free sex, abortion, ERA, homosexual, antinomianism, anti-law. Brother, I believe in sovereign grace. Brother Eugene Clark said this only kind there is. Wet water, tooth dentist, whatever you want to call it, you know. That's the only kind there is. If it's not sovereign, it's not grace. If it's grace, it's sovereign. But I want you to listen to something. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the grace that saves, the grace that lifts you out of sin and carries you to heaven, that grace, sovereign grace, listen to what it says, the grace that brings salvation, verse 12, teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Folks, if you've got the kind of grace that saves you, it'll separate you.
Amen.
If it don't teach you to live godly, then you didn't get the right kind, the kind that saves.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to listen to this. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, those people that were saved, members of the church, he said, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Folks, you can talk about eternal security, talk whatever about whatever you want to, but drunkards, adulterers, homosexuals are not going to heaven.
Amen.
You remember what Brother Hancock said today? When you look through the blood of Christ at an old drunkard, an old adulterer, an old fornicator, you don't see a sin anymore. And that's the only kind that's going to get in heaven.
Right.
Listen, Paul writing to these Corinthians, and he said, "And such were some of you."
Amen.
Not such are some of you, but you were. And folks, if you still are, you're not where you are. And you're still lost on your way to hell. Then the gap of church truth is down.
Amen.
Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I'll build my kind of church." My church. And that's the only kind the Lord recognizes.
Amen.
If you believe in a universal, invisible church, I'll tell you, a fellow by the name of Martin Luther come up with that idea to justify his organization. He'd have to do that or say he was a Catholic, but a runaway Catholic, I guess you'd say. And he came up with that idea, that theory, to justify his new organization. I want to tell you, it's about like, some of you remember old W.C. Neville, don't you? I heard him debating a Carmelite preacher, and he kept calling him Carmelite. Finally, this Carmelite said, "Brother Neville, we agreed before this debate that we wouldn't call either one any kind of names except Bible names." He said, "That's right, Mr. Blackburn. But," he said, "when it comes to Carmelites, you don't find them in the Bible." And folks, when it comes to universal church, invisible church, you don't find them in the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I told one fellow, they just as invisible and as elusive as an Irish leprechaun. And I've never seen one of those. I'll tell you what. We need to expose those that oppose church truth.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I don't believe in that." It's witch hunting. I'm not witch hunting. I'm hunting for false prophets.
Amen.
I want to show you why. I want you to turn with me, if you will. I think I can find this. Over in Ephesians. Let me see. No, I'm wrong. I'll find it. You just give me time. I know it's here because I've been reading it a lot lately. Second Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14-15. Paul said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works." Now you listen. "Of whom be thou ware also." Paul said he's already done me much harm, and you better watch out for him. "For he hath greatly withstood our words." If you look at the marginal reference, it means my preaching, Paul said. He's withstood my preaching. We need to expose the enemy. As Brother Larry said today, our responsibility is to protect our sheep.
Amen.
Lest the wolf creep in unawares. The gap of church ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, I'll tell you what, we Baptists better start asking questions about those that come for membership in our church.
Amen.
Better do it. I've fully persuaded my church is that if a person cannot prove beyond any shadow of a doubt they have scriptural baptism, the only kind there is Baptist baptism. If they don't have it, we're going to baptize them again. Young preacher in my church, I baptized him Sunday night because he had some doubts about his baptism. He said, "I want to be sure I got the real thing." And the only way you can be sure about that is get Baptist baptism, folks.
Amen.
Lord's Supper.
Amen.
Close communion.
Amen.
Somebody said it's not important. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "For this cause many are weak and some have died." That seems pretty important to me.
Amen.
Then last of all, the second coming. Gap of the second coming's down, folks. As I said in the beginning, I'm looking. I love the second coming. I'm looking for it.
Amen.
I'm longing for it.
Amen.
Brother Hancock and somebody else said in Psalm 17, what is it, verse 15, "I'll be satisfied when I wait in His likeness, and I will not be satisfied till then."
Amen.
Somebody needs to stand in that gap, the tribulation. Somebody said, "I don't believe in it." Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have to do something with Revelation chapter 5 through chapter 19.
Amen.
Somebody said, you know, they not sure when the church is taken out, you know, before, in the middle, or after. Well, I'll tell you what, you find it anywhere after the tribulation starts. You find the church in there, anywhere after the tribulation starts, and I'll agree that's when it's going to be taken out. You find it in there.
Amen.
I've searched for it, and I can't find it after the fifth chapter of Revelation to chapter 19, when the marriage of the Lamb takes place. It's nowhere
Amen.
In there, folks.
Amen.
The Revelation.
Right.
Somebody needs to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen. Amen.
Not only will he then wear the crown of joy, but he'll wear the diadem crown too.
Amen.
And then the millennium. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Need some understanding the gift. Somebody said, I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm a preacher of God's word. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Amen.
You know who I believe are God's prophets? Are those that continue in his word.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, said, having done all to stand, then stand.
Amen.
What about you tonight? Are you standing in the gap? Thank God, the preacher that came forward today. All the world he's got to do now is just stand in the gap.
Amen.
He's been there all along. He's been out of it. Left an opening. What about some of you young men tonight? Has the Lord laid on your heart to stand in the gap? You know, I think about old Jude, book of Jude. And he said, you know, when I started writing, he said, I just wanted to write about the common salvation. You know, I'd love to just preach about the gospel, amen, preach like Brother Hancock did today about the Lord. I'd give anything if I could do that. I really do. But Jude said, he started out, he wanted to write about the common salvation. But you know what he had to do? Earnestly contend for the faith. Folks, the gospel's got to be preached. But if somebody don't earnestly contend for it, one of these days, people will not be able to recognize it.
That's right.
Will you stand in the gap tonight, Brother Titus?